This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On today's Friday podcast, Sid comes up with a tactic to flip the league title on its head. Are bottles dropping out in the Premier League? Chris reveals a bruising encounter at Ladies' Day. And stay tuned for Susie Dent's definition of the corridor of uncertainty. Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Peter Crouch, Notorious SID with me as usual, and Chris Stark. Is everyone okay?
Good.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit stiff today.
Are you?
Yeah.
You had a bit of a lively weekend.
Yeah, we did have a lively weekend. Yeah, it was a friend's birthday, so we had like a couple's games weekend over in Ireland. And there was archery, shooting, clay pigeon shooting, paddle. There was like a reaction game. You know, like the F1 guys do with the...
Goalkeepers do it.
Yeah, like the lights.
Yeah, the lights.
We've done that. And then there was like cones, 10 cones laid up. And then there was like a memory game. So if you touch one, there might be a donkey noise. And then touch another one, it might be a cat. And you have to pair the noises up.
You do this all weekend as couples.
Yeah, and there was points on it and there was a trophy at the end.
But,
yeah,
by the way, I think since you're on.
We actually come out on top.
I thought you might.
The Notorious come out on top, yeah.
But you do this with three other couples, right?
There was... Five couples in total.
So I think what Sid's has created, because you've done this a few times
since
I've known you. You say you're doing a games night and it's competitive couple action.
It was competitive.
Is this not the new Come Dine With Me that needs to be?
Sounds good. You know, obviously I originally invented Come Dine With Me, didn't I?
Of course you did.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this would be great. I think we should do it.
So. Is it the same couples that take part or do new couples?
On this one, it was, yeah, but...
And you stick to your own wives?
There's no keys in the pot on this one.
No, it's just could be a way to mix it up, couldn't it?
Well, yeah.
On one of Sid's holidays.
Yes.
But it all sounds like good fun and games.
It was good, yeah, but I'm feeling it today. I've got to say, I'm
taking it out of you.
The glutes are... My right hammy is in pieces.
But it's so good, this.
It was good.
I've never thought of doing this. I've actually never thought of saying to my missus, should we ask a few couples to go and just compete against them? Competitive couples is a genius idea, Sid. Yeah.
It's almost like you're looking for something more than just a relationship, aren't you? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What's your memory like?
Yeah.
So when you're on Tinder, it's like, you know, ask those questions like, you know, can you shoot a clay pigeon?
This is it. Like, it would change dating if you chose your partner based on having to compete with them against other couples in everything.
I think if a few could have swapped, there might have been a few that would have swapped their partners.
Really?
Maybe.
Let them down. I would, Ab's quite competitive. So we rarely lose Christmas. You know, articulate in our house is, we do. You know, there's a couple of family members out there that would say different, but I'd say we're top.
Are you a Scrabble fan?
Yeah, don't mind Scrabble. Not done it for a while though.
Did you see the news this week about the new Scrabble that's come out? It's causing waves because, they
changed it all, have they?
They've changed it all, Pete. So I think the idea is, and I don't fully understand the idea, is to take some of the competitiveness out of it. So you work in teams or something like that. And I think might not be able to lose. Might be misquoting here. But a lot of people are saying it's gone woke.
Oh, God. You see, you're not allowed to compete anymore. That's the problem. This is the thing at school. It's like, you know, it has to be, you know, even if you're crap at something, you're involved, aren't you? You know, which is great. I suppose it's great. But, you know...
If you're crap, you still get
a prize for being crap. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you need a trophy. Everyone can play, obviously, inclusive of all, but you do need a winner.
There's actually nothing wrong. I think, because you work on a match that is great to win, but there is nothing wrong with not winning.
Yeah, you know, but obviously it'd be great to win.
Yeah. I know. But what I'm saying is, like, I agree with you in terms of sports days. It's like there's a bit of a feeling that if not everyone can win, no one should win. Whereas I think it's a good thing to let other people, even if you can't win, to let, you know, other people win. And you, that be an acceptable situation.
Yeah, you get your medal.
That you
for
have
competing.
Some winners and losers, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just think that's real life, isn't it? And, you know, it's dog eat dog out there, isn't it? It's like there are winners and losers in real life, so we could get them ready for that in school.
Well, welcome to the Friday podcast, everyone, where everyone is welcome. And,
you're welcome.
You're all winners to us.
Well, you've arrived here at this podcast, so you are winners in our eyes. I should get on with the Friday pod, talking of winners and losers.
Oh, wow. Good link. Good link.
This is getting so slick now, isn't it?
I've been doing this a while now.
Wow.
Like a young Des Lynam.
Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? What's the email address again?
I've got fucking no idea about that. Right, I've never known that. You know I've never known that. But they seem to get here, so thanks for keeping an eagle eye on it.
Okay.
Where is it, Chris?
Peter.crouch at acast.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've relied. See, you know what? Every kind of manager of a podcast or a team need to top staff around them.
Throw to me.
Do you know what I mean? I throw to you and you look after me in that area.
Yeah. Can I show you this ladder, Aintree? Can I show you what you've caused, by the way?
Oh, no.
Who is that? It's going to be undeleted. Hang on. I'm going to show you this guy here. Obviously, this is a bit visual, but I'm at Aintree, right? And I was DJing... Ladies' Day last Friday.
How was it?
Which is good fun. Yeah. You know, it's always good fun. Everyone's been on it all day. So turned up, DJing this big, I think it's the Red Rum enclosure, you know, like a giant one. Mm. And obviously you get a few people holding up their phones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But where I was DJing was really far away from everyone, so they couldn't shout. So this guy took to hand signals.
Oh, brilliant.
Which really caught my eye. I decided to video them. Okay. Have a look at this, boys. I'll talk you through it. This fella here. Okay, have a look. So,
okay, yeah.
Let me take you back to the beginning. What he's signalling here, and I had to explain this to everyone around me and the people who work at Aintree, is he's saying puddings is massive. You see?
Yeah. Puddings massive. Is massive. So then, he's doing the knife and fork with the big pudding.
And then he's pointing at me and going, "You wanker, barbecue." He'd give you one of them after.
I can only apologise. I don't even know where to begin with that.
Did you just give him the thumbs up?
And then what's amazing is he's given all these hand signals, but then also at the same time putting a thumbs up and like blowing kisses and everything. It's so confusing for everyone around me.
Everyone around me going, "Oh, do you want us to get rid of him?"
That's
you go,
what they were saying.
He really likes
it. And it takes so much explaining every time. Like, it's exactly it. The person's like, "Do you want him gone?" And I'm like, no. This can sound weird, but I think he's a
fan.
Podcast.
Yeah. He's a real big fan.
But there we go. Wow. So cheers.
Well,
apologies
for that. Anyway, but I am leading now. I've gone from bottom.
Shift.
Been a big shift. Again, it's a shambles of a weekend. The correct scores were obviously Arsenal 0, Aston Villa 2, Newcastle beat Spurs 4-0, and the draw, which is the point I got, was 2-2. At Forest Wolves. Obviously, the Sidwell bonus point, I had Son, Sid's had Gordon, but you had Isak. I was at the game.
Yeah.
4-0. Isak was right up to the 84th minute, was the last goal scorer.
That was for the Sidwell bonus, which Steve Sidwell introduced in the last podcast just to confuse things.
I thought it was a good one, though.
I actually really enjoyed it. I was watching the game and I was invested for
there
the whole
you
game.
Are. But you've actually had so many... points taken off. You've lost points, haven't you, this year,
it's
by last minute goals, or I reckon you could be another five or six.
Destroyed
maybe?
Football for me, this, because there's literally no point watching a game of football for me. I might as well tune in from 89 minutes onwards.
Just
there's no point.
The facts.
Yeah.
There's no point because I'm even sort of 87, 86 minutes throwing out a little message into the WhatsApp group saying, "Oh, this is exciting." What's the fucking point? Because every time, even in the Watford game, I dared send a text to someone going, "We'd only get this back under Tom Cleverley, 2-2 against Southampton." A little run of decent games, right?
Unbelievable. Last minute, wasn't it?
Last minute. Crouchy, there was 6 or 7 minutes of injury time. It was the 98th, 99th minute, this goal.
I heard it, was listening to it on the radio.
How's that allowed?
Can't believe it.
Only me. I swear every week it's done on purpose. Yeah. It's a fucking disgrace.
Is this a mini rant?
It's not a rant. Just feeling a bit low at the moment. Because he was so far ahead. We've pegged it back.
I was galloping.
You were galloping.
Well, psychologically, that points-wise, you're on 15, Chris is on 14, I'm on 14. So there's only one point in it, but psychologically, I'm at the bottom, I'm at the foot of the table now, and you're at the top.
I've done a Liverpool. That's
squeaky
what I've
bump
done.
Time.
I feel like I've done a Liverpool. We said this in the last Friday podcast. It's just a couple of results where I'm standing up in the press conferences and the journalists are trying to get me to answer the questions, so sort of wording it in a clever way, but basically saying, do you think you fucked it?
As your arsehole fell out.
Wouldn't it be great if they just said that to Klopp?
Because
everyone's so careful. Have you noticed how journalists are really careful about how they work? I don't think we've ever dug down on how impressive certain journalists are at the way they word questions to a manager who's just lost a game.
Yeah. Do you know, the thing is as well, like I'm around it, you know, obviously when we do TNT and, you know, the people like Jules Breach, for instance, who will interview, you know, a Klopp after the game when he's lost, or Guardiola, and they're always spiky, it's difficult. Yeah. And you have to ask the questions because people at home want to know the questions.
Yeah.
But you're the one sitting one-on-one.
The pressure.
Having to ask. And you have to ask it in a manner that doesn't piss them off.
I'm really sorry. I can't remember this guy's name. But he said it to Jürgen. He said, well, Jürgen, sometimes all the stats could be going your way, but, you know, the result just doesn't reflect it.
Mm.
And I thought that was so good. Because he's basically said, in every stat, you've kind of won this game, but hasn't said that to piss off the fans.
Saying the positive thing.
Yeah.
He said the positive thing, but it's basically said, you know, you've lost.
Yeah.
What's gone wrong? But if you ask that to him, he's never
going to... Well, even to the point where they could fluff up by going after the game, saying, say if it's Klopp, oh, you've obviously, that's now two defeats on the bounce. Team maybe looking a little bit nervous. How do you find that? Is that another way of saying you've lost two on the bounce? Oh, your arsehole for it.
Yeah.
Like, are you shitting it?
Yeah, well, that's it. And it's all about the wording of the question. But what a weekend of football. Like, I just did not see that. When Liverpool lost, you thought that's the end of them. And then Arsenal lost.
Yeah.
And then obviously City are 2 points ahead now?
Mm.
But everyone's going, oh, the title race is over. And when you look at City's games, you know, they are the easier of the games, I think. And you can't see them, but it is only 2 points. And we would never have called this weekend coming.
No. It's 2 points, but it's this momentum that you see with City and
they've been there before.
Goals and
experience. They've you know, this isn't their first rodeo, is it? They got the know-how. But I know, I mean, this is going to go down to the wire, I think. I think it's going to go down to the last one or not the last weekend, second to last weekend, I think.
Yeah. What do you think with the Arsenal Villa game then, looking at that? I mean, Villa were phenomenal. I thought Watkins hit the post early on.
Yeah.
I suddenly thought, God, like, this does look like it's going to go that way. And Arteta afterwards, without bringing it back to the press conferences, he was very agitated, sort of moving from side to side. Mm. The arse had fallen out, it felt.
I just think it's...
Oh, please, it's Crouchy, squeaky. When it's the manager squeaky. Next comes to
what,
you,
on the side there?
On the pitch.
Well, has
straight
your arsehole fell out?
Wouldn't it be great if you were just as direct as that? Has your arsehole fallen out? I mean, you'd never work again.
Potentially, but...
Obviously, what's your BT up at Anfield? They stuck out on the wing.
Again.
Got tagged in that a lot.
That kind of went kind of viral, didn't it?
They've put you even closer to the camera.
I don't know if I was closer, I just was potentially shorter people than normal.
The angles.
It's a shithousery.
You've got to have a word with
you
the
need
camera.
To have a word.
I was told by Leo, shout out to Leo, you knew, obviously, like floor manager, and I said, I'm getting shithoused here.
Has there been a chat?
I said, you got to stop shithousing me, getting the heat every week. And he said, apparently, like, obviously, I've always been there. So my kind of, is it the mic volume? And so, like, when they need to key to me and things like that, it's like in order. It's like left, right, you know what I mean, centre. Mm-hmm. So you'll have left, centre, right. And if I don't, because I tried to swap with Rio.
Did you?
I don't know if you noticed on Saturday, I came straight in because I was doing something else and I came in live and I just went in the middle. So I thought, I'll go there. I just got in there early and I said, I'll just go in there. And what can he do then? Yeah. So then he went to the break and he moved me back out. Stay on the wing. And that's when he explained to me that that is the reason I'll be, if someone wants to speak to me like a director or something in my ear, then I'll be the right button.
Yeah, but that's not a Peter Crouch issue. That's a Leo issue. Like, yeah. What he needs to do is take his little bit of tape that says one and switch it with a little bit of tape that says two. And then that problem's solved.
I mean, that sounds really easy, but I think he just lost me in technical
comedy. Leo's give you some jargon and you've got
Leo
fell for it.
You can't switch because he can only... Otherwise, when he puts up his fader, you won't be there.
Yeah, but when he put down his fader and went, silly come for it. Wait to see the memes rolling in again.
I love it. It's free advertising.
Yeah, I'm getting mugged off. But it's all, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens next time.
Yeah, especially, you know, Jules Breach isn't obviously hugely tall, is she?
No.
So it would make sense, I think. They've just got to look at the formation with it. I think whoever's playing you needs to put you more into the middle, I think. So
It needs probably a formation tweak.
Mm.
Right, the next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power. It's their big weekend fixture. We do have Paddy Power boosts. Potentially, we could phone a friend.
Yep.
I don't know if that's on the cards. Paddy's points is massive. We've all used those. Yep. And Paddy's predictor, we can get one of Paddy's expert traders for a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the big Paddy Power forfeit, as you know, is still on. It's heating up. We're getting lots of suggestions on the socials.
Yeah.
And we will address that potentially at the end of this podcast or next week.
Mm.
But the big fixture, Paddy Power fixture this week, is Wolves versus Arsenal.
Yeah, it's... I've been doing a lot of thinking over this last 24 hours.
Great.
And because I've had a shocking weekend again, no points, you know, it seems the regular occurrence, and I keep going with the team I think's going to win. So I'm going to change it up this weekend.
I debated doing this.
I'm going to call this on straight away. I'm going to get the Paddy predictor next week.
Okay.
Yeah. So can we get that in line, please, for me? Because we need to give them the heads up.
Okay, give him a heads up. All right.
So,
all right, I'm gonna go for the phone a friend next week.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Okay. I'm not gonna do anything.
Really? Yeah. I just think
I'm gonna
trust
the process.
I'm just thinking, what if you get adrift?
What?
What if you set adrift on memory release?
Because I won't let panic. My panic button will be one of these lifelines.
I think your arsehole's fell out.
Well, it has fallen out. It has fallen out. Of a possible, there was 27 points available this week. Between us, we've managed one.
Yeah.
Right? It's actually worse than that. Because of the Sidwell bonus, there was 30 points available.
When you say that, though, that I think that sounds bad. I looked at someone... I know it's not good, but I looked at one earlier. I think Chris Sutton does one, the average old man. He does it every week and he writes them down. He likes them. They give themselves 5 points for a correct score and 10 points for, you know...
Yeah, but what that would mean is just that the amount of possible points available would be greater and we would still have one or two.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, look, well, I'm throwing that out for next week, but staying on this one, the Wolves-Arsenal is the game, isn't it?
So you're going to tell me you're going for Wolves?
Well, like I've done before, I've gone with the one I think's going to win
and reversed it.
I'm going to reverse. And I'm going to say Wolves on this one for me.
Interesting tactic.
I'm going to say Wolves. I'm not going to say that Arsenal, the arse has fell out of Arsenal, but they're going to lose.
Okay, what score?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win for Wolves at home. They're good at home as well, Molyneux. I like what Gary O'Neill's doing there, and I can see this result happening. It's not a ridiculous one. So
is that must win?
Must
that
win.
Way.
Must win for Arsenal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, Wolves could end it there. Wolves are 15-2, so 10 against your £85 return. And Arsenal 1-3, so obviously strong favourites, Arsenal.
Mm. Mm. Well, you said you was thinking about this, so...
I think it's a good idea. I think you kind of got in ahead of me. I think we are fucking shite at this. So let's just reverse what we're going to do. I get that.
What is the main motivation for Wolves in this game to shithouse Arsenal? They're kind of safe at the moment.
I think they've got enough about them to like kind of to do well. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they've got to sit back.
To spoil the party is the main motivation.
No, I think they played well the other day. Cunha's back fit, isn't he? He scored a couple on the weekend. I think they look... I mean, they've got a good manager in charge. I know some of the people that work behind the scenes and, you know, they're confident. They're a good side.
He just wants to finish as high as possible. It's £3 million every spot. Do you know
that?
It's £3 million really? To a football club. And Wolves, they're in a bit of financial, not difficulties, but the FFP and stuff. They're on that cusp. So,
but does that money side filter to you guys as players? Like when you view it from that position, I understand you probably get a bollocking from the chairman or a bit of a.
It's a bonus. It'll be a bonus. It's a bonus for every league.
For every place.
And also, top 10 will probably be more of a bonus. And I think they're only 1 point outside the top 10 at the moment.
Slightly
leaky at the back, aren't they? Conceded double number of goals than Arsenal this season because they've been brilliant at the back of the Arsenal. Which is a problem. Which is why I believe that Arsenal will win. I think it will be 2-0 to Arsenal.
You're going 2-0. I see Wolves going up in this game than Arsenal getting this back. I can't have a last minute Arsenal goal to just spoil what I actually think is the score, which is kind of a draw up into the last minute. So I've gone Arsenal 2-1.
Okay. All good scores. Okay then, if you do feel like getting involved in that, odds are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly. Moving swiftly on to Crystal Palace versus West Ham. Obviously Palace, unbelievable performance.
Wow.
They rode their luck at times, but to go to Anfield and get a result like that, the enormity of it, especially like I think some of the stats with Van Dijk playing, especially at Anfield in the last few years, not many teams gone there and get the points.
Well, good result, wasn't it, for Palace, as you said. West Ham, I just don't know. Just don't
the last five him. Games, it's been a weird one, hasn't it? One win, two losses out of that.
Poor result against Fulham.
The last
missed
two,
chances against Fulham, didn't they, as well?
Yeah. They've hit a dip, the last two.
Yeah, they have. Difficult one. Obviously, going out to, Bayer Leverkusen. That'll be happening on Thursday. We're at time of recording. We don't know what's happened there.
No.
But that doesn't look likely, I have to say. Unfortunately, I worry for them at the moment. They have got players back. Obviously, Paqueta's back in. He's a suspension risk, isn't he? But I do think he'll play. I see this as a score draw. I've got this down as Palace 1, West Ham 1.
I think that's such a good shout.
Yeah.
That is a really... that is a good.
Well,
shot.
The draw last week nicked me the point.
Yeah,
it was crucial, and I've gone with it again.
That feels right. I've gone for West Ham just getting this back now. I've gone for a West Ham 2-1 win.
That'll be squeaky bum time when it's 1-1, and West Ham will push him.
That's the worst bit of this thing. It's worse than just your score getting right. Is knowing that one of you is currently right. Yeah.
Well, I've currently got West Ham 1-0. But I feel like I want to go back Palace now, so we've got a winner.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which makes it...
Yeah.
So you got the draw. You're going to go West Ham 2-1, yeah?
Yeah, but
okay,
you're really rolling the dice with this week, aren't
you? Well, let's change this up. I'm going to go for Palace 1-0. I think the Eagles are going to do it at home.
Another 1-0.
So someone's going to get some points there. Okay. Yeah.
All right, moving on. Aston Villa, Bournemouth.
Yeah, Villa, good form, hey? I covered them last week in Europe against Lille at home. They should have been out of sight, really. Yeah. The game's on its head now. Lille got a goal back, and then they go and get the result against Arsenal, which I didn't see with the predictions last week. So, Villa at home are good as well, aren't they?
They're strong Villa at home. Yeah, they're Bournemouth let me down in that Luton game, so I just... can't feel I can put my trust in.
Oh, really? You can't go with them. Played well against Manchester United, though.
Yeah,
you're a bit unlucky there.
True.
You took the lead twice. Dominic Solanke's in great form, isn't he? Goals galore at the moment. Yeah. Scored another great goal.
I just see Watkins scoring this.
Yeah, mate,
but then they've got fire. Well, they've actually got the next tie is on... the second leg is Thursday.
Well, Thursday, yeah.
Which is obviously
would have been
the few days before this game. So you don't know what team's going to be put out for this. There could be some injuries. You don't know. Fatigue. It's on a Sunday. Chris, what do you want to go for?
It feels to me such an important game for Villa, just in terms of maintaining their position, and Tottenham are close, right?
Yeah. It's at them two.
It's out of them two, yeah. And obviously, if it was much better for Villa on the weekend. You know, looking at the weekend's fixtures, obviously, like Villa, you'd back Villa, I think, other than Tottenham. You know, Tottenham were poor.
I'm going to go Villa 3, Bournemouth 0.
Oh, wow.
You look nervy, and then you've gone for a bold statement.
I am, yeah.
All guns blazing.
I've gone 2-1 Villa.
I've actually gone for the draw. Again, I think I would have gone Villa, but I'm going against the grain. Mm. And I don't see Bournemouth winning it, but I do see a draw. So I'm going to say Aston Villa 1, Bournemouth 1.
All right, great. Good luck, gentlemen.
Mm. Very competitive weekend, this one. Then. Mm. Something for everyone.
Okay, let's move on, because we've got a load of messages in this week. The first one is from Big Mike. Big Mike with a kiss. He says, love the pod, lads. Just thought you might like to know that Sunita is a Hull City fan. Supposedly, a former partner got her into the Tigers. Love, Big Mike.
Sunita was the one with the leaves, wasn't she, traditionally?
Yes. She wore the leaves. Was that on, like, Britain's Got Talent or something? Or was it like a premiere or something like that?
I think it was something... Was it a... It was a music video many years ago, and then she wore the leaves again on X Factor or one of those shows. Was she with Simon Cowell? I think she was, wasn't she? But I'm not 100% sure.
Have you guys ever come across her in your celebrity circles?
Sorry, Sins.
You must have. You've met
Sunita. I've got a great picture of me and Sunita.
I'm so glad that was skipped over there.
Yeah.
But you're going to pull a picture out of you and Sunita?
Yeah.
Are you?
See, I knew.
Yeah, but I know I met Sunita. Here's me here. Because I was actually naked when I met her and just wearing the leaves myself.
Oh, my God. You must have. You ever met her? He's wearing just leaves. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And you're literally spitting water over her.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
We're totally naked. Obviously, innuendo bingo. Innuendo one, yeah.
But there is a picture of me somewhere, just me and her next to each other. I forgot we played that, but me just in the leaves as a nice sort of homage. Mm. To Sunita there. But she's a Hull City fan. I never knew that. But we've been talking about celebrities obviously supporting football clubs, and it's nice to just have a little stock take of who's supporting who, really, on the Friday pod.
Top of the pile. I still think we can try and push Margot Robbie if possible, guys. Big Fulham fan.
We try.
Gentle reminder there to book Margot Robbie for the pod, please.
Yep, the lads behind the scenes have they apparently they've been right on the case with that one. Ross has been DMing her every day ever since we said it.
That's the thing, we leave it with them, but we've not questioned the booking process of
I've got shot at to think.
Okay, message from Joe says, hi lads, was browsing a charity shop in Avalon, Australia when I came across this absolute bargain. And look at this.
I've got one of these. How about that?
Peter Crouch t-shirt.
I've got this t-shirt at home. No, Abby wears it for bed. It was one of my finest moments when I saw Abby going to bed in this once.
Seriously?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. So basically...
Oh my God.
Well, it breaks it down. It's got the price of things on it.
Look at that in the corner, yeah.
So it says match ticket, £68. Flight to Milan, £110. Match programme, £6. Halftime burger, £5. And then a picture of me scoring a winner in San Siro against Milan. And it says, watching Crouchy score the winner against Milan in San Siro. Priceless.
Wow. I love that.
I've got one of those at home.
So when you said Abby was wearing it, did she have the shirt or did you buy the shirt?
No, someone gave me one because they were selling them kind of, you know, one of those kind of t-shirts that's outside the ground at White Hart Lane or something. And it was just after, obviously, when we beat AC Milan in the Champions League. And obviously, scoring that goal. So there's a picture of me scoring that goal and she wore it to bed one day. And I was like, my life took a mad turn.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Yes. Obviously, you know, I used to watch Italian football, so scoring in the San Siro, you know, let alone be the winner in Champions League, felt amazing.
Yeah, awesome, man.
And now it's in a charity shop in the other side of the world.
Yeah, well, that is a bargain in there, by the way.
But it's made it to Australia.
How good's that?
Right, I've got one here. My mates convinced me to buy this shirt after Mad Wiecki's interview calling Cole Palmer Cold Palmer. Turned up to footy the other day wearing it to everyone pissing themselves laughing. I think I may have had a stinker. That's from Joe. Yeah, I can confirm it's a complete stinker.
Yeah, because people that haven't seen that interview that don't know that he said Cold Palmer were thinking he thinks that he's named Cold Palmer.
Well, potentially. The shirt says Cold Palmer, but he does the cold.
Yeah. The celebration.
And he's ice cold, isn't he?
Does it look just a bit, is it a bit icky?
Yes,
sort of thing.
Very much so.
That's kind of the thing with it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's a bit of a bear, I'm honest.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, is this from Joe, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, your mate's had a bit of a mare there.
Yeah.
He's had a bit of a stinker.
No, he bought it. His mate convinced him.
Oh,
and Joe's bought it.
Sorry, Joe, you've had a stinker there. Yeah. So a vibraphone.
You've delved into peer pressure there. You've caved.
Right, so we just love these, don't we? Susie Dent has performed again. I like leaving them, so we've not heard it. We'll be hearing this just as you'll be hearing it. Chris, do you have Susie Dent?
I've got Susie Dent with another sort of football word definition. Here she is.
Hello. Well, before I kick off with this week's phrase, I thought I would pick up on the email you had from Wednesday fan Steve, who asked why everybody these days, especially used by Clive Tilsley, I think, is remonstrating with the ref. Instead of just arguing. And remonstrate has meant to point something out. It's the monstrate bit, it's the same as demonstrate, for centuries. But I don't think any player is simply and politely pointing something out to the ref these days. I think, to be fair, it did pick up pace in the 17th century when it meant to quite bitterly complain or protest. In the 17th century history of Elizabeth I, you can read, she remonstrateth the barbarous cruelty of the Spaniard. But Steve is completely right. It's being used more and more in football commentary, according to the databases that I've been looking at of current language. And I can't completely put my finger on why, but I suppose it sounds a little bit more sophisticated than argue and a little less pointed than harangue. But it has become one of those tropes in football commentary. He's completely right. Okay, so this week's phrase is the corridor of uncertainty, which is, again, one of your suggestions. And you might, if you're like me, assume that it has some kind of geopolitical history, either that or some link with horror movies. But it's always been connected to sport. And as you probably know, one sport in particular, which is cricket, where the corridor of uncertainty is an area just outside the batter's off stump. And it's often used then as a line of delivery by the bowler with the aim of leaving the batter completely unsure as to whether to play a shot. And the use of the expression is associated particularly and unsurprisingly with Geoffrey Boycott, who really popularised it in his commentary, particularly during England's 1990 tour of the West Indies, when you can see it really picking up in use. But signs are he didn't invent it, because the first recorded use we have at the moment is from 1986 and a newspaper from Adelaide in Australia. And indeed, there are clues that the phrase might have begun there. So some suggest it began with the Australian right arm bowler Terry Alderman. But the key thing is that it soon began to spread beyond cricket, including, importantly, into football, where, well, you all know better than me, but it's used to describe a cross or a pass that's delivered into the area in front of the goalie and behind the last line of defence. And so the uncertainty is from the decision as to who goes for the ball, so whether to defend it or leave it to the other player. I'm not sure why I'm telling you all this, because you know it. But it hasn't stopped there. Even by the early 90s, a corridor of uncertainty was being used for any situation or course of action which causes hesitation or uncertainty over how to proceed, including, as the Telegraph put it back in 2007, kissing. So it says, Northerners kiss once, but often find themselves in the corridor of uncertainty, that moment of hesitation when they weigh up whether to go for a second. So I know you lot think I always go for arses or guts, but I thought I'd be a little bit different this time and just go for kissing.
She did well not to include arses or guts. And I actually thought we'd got through a whole definition.
Yeah, really, no, still mentioned them. Well...
Came, by the way, from absolute left field, didn't it?
That was amazing. Like, honestly, like, how good are these little are these explanations?
I mean,
that
was the best.
So good.
She's the best, and it feels like she spends days researching.
Researching.
She has described that to a T, isn't she?
Spot on. Absolutely.
You can visually see that, like literally where that ball's going to go across
the
box. Yeah,
I mean, even the description of the, you know, of like we say, we've been involved in that and talked about the corridor of uncertainty, you know, just where the goalkeeper wants to come out and does the defender drop and clear it, or does he leave it to the goalkeeper? It's that corridor of uncertainty that you play the ball in as a winger. Fantastic explanation, Sue.
Can you believe the kissing thing as well? So, unless I misunderstood that, so she said Northerners as well in particular.
Well, yeah, because I think
one kiss.
It's the kind of, do you go in for the double? It's a minefield. I don't like it at all.
Do you think, not as in fan. The polite?
I'd rather just shake hands.
As in, yeah, but if you're trying to pull, you're not shaking their hand, are you? But
you know, usually quite often you're introduced to someone's wife and you feel like you have to kiss them straight away. I just go, lovely to meet you. Yeah. I think that's easier. Whereas if you go like that and then you linger and like, she wants to go for one, but you don't, and then you go in and you almost go, like, it's all just,
I guess it's
a nightmare.
Did you deal with all the wives over the weekend?
Are you talking about, was that talking about like, as in greeting someone, a double kiss?
A greeting.
You see, I took it to mean as in, like, let's say we'd had a lovely evening together. I've taken you for a lovely
just a one kiss on the lips.
I've gone in to kiss Steve. I've gone, no, but like if I'm getting off with Steve, what I'm doing is coming in, just go with it a second. Yeah. What I'm trying to do is I'll come in and give him like one little
show
kiss.
Me.
But then
really
what I want to do is then go back in and be like,
you've got to clip that up.
Let's stick to the topic. What I'm saying is
I agree.
So the corridor of uncertainty is whether I've given him a quick kiss on the lips, right? But I want Steve. So what I've done is I've then gone back in, and that's the corridor of uncertainty.
Yeah, but I think you can play that if you can play that properly, because if you do the kiss and just hold for a bit, then let kind of them come to you almost. Like, do you know what I mean? If they want to do the kiss, then it's there for them. Do you know what I mean? But whereas if it's, you know, if it's a greeting, you don't know where you are, in my opinion, these days.
Yeah, but so what you're saying is if you get off with someone, you go in and you've just gone gently.
I'll go for it. What are you doing?
You show us. You show.
No, I'm happy watching you.
I'm saying
you go for one kiss, right? Yeah. So you just test the water. You're then in the corridor of uncertainty. But you're saying the corridor of uncertainty.
Kiss and hold.
Yeah, there's no uncertainty for me. I'm hammered down. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, on that note.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. 3 different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned around to my wife and said, what can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us. Then I told her, let's go to aloadofpricks.net.
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.